Good evening. It is good to see everyone that is out this evening. If you have not picked up your DVD, there's still plenty of them back there. Take it home. Look at it. I'm not kidding. This is something that you need to know what's on it before you tell somebody. You need to be sure that it's something that you approve of, not that Brother So-and-so approved of it or Sister So-and-so watched it and she thought it was good and she approved of it. You need to make sure that you believe that it's teaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you also need to be aware of what's on it so you can tell people about it. The more excited you are about it, the more excited they are going to be to listen to it, to sit down and watch it. If you put forth the air and the idea that this is something that you feel is important, they're going to feel it's more important. So take it home, look at it, and then pass it on to someone else. And after you've passed it on to them, come get another one and pass it out to someone else. Those are for passing out. This, to me, is one of the easiest forms of evangelism there is. You just hand it off. It doesn't require any work on their part. They're encouraged on the DVD to open up their Bibles and to look along, but Brian has the verses there for them, and he says multiple times, open up your Bibles and study with us, but they can just sit there. There's a lot less work on their part. They don't have to write anything down. And so they're more likely to pop it into their TV, which most people like to sit in front of anyway, and to sit down and watch it. So let's use these. These things were purchased for the reason of using them. And so let's make sure that we put them to a good use. As we've been looking through this series of lessons, we've looked and noted at the diversity of function of the bodies of the body of Christ, the members of that body. And we noticed certain truth. First and foremost, we notice that the body of Christ has many members in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There in verse 12 and verse 14, we see, for the body is not one member, but many. We noted in Romans chapter 12, there in verses 4 and in the first part of verse 6, that the many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function. There is diversity in the functions of those that are members of the body of Christ. Different abilities are given to different individuals. And we noted that every function is crucial to the operation of the body. As we noted in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there in verse 21, the Apostle Paul wrote, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you," or again, the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Some of you who wear glasses and are reaching the point where, you know, you really have to have those glasses, your eyes definitely can't say, "I don't need my hands," because what's going to put your glasses on? And so even though there might be someone who's able to preach the gospel really well, he can't go everywhere. But it can be put on a CD and your hands can take it and pass to someone else. And so we need to be looking at these things and seeing what we can be doing. As we look further in Ephesians chapter 4, as we noted in the beginning of this series of lessons, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the congregation there in Ephesus, says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." This is what I'm talking about. This is what you've heard me say time and time again. This church, this congregation, will not grow to its full potential. It will not be what it should be. It will not grow up in all aspects into the Lord until every individual member is doing all that they can do. And this series of lessons is there to help you see that you have certain gifts and that you have a responsibility to use those gifts. And you need to be looking for areas that you can serve the Lord in the local congregation and in your own personal life so that you can be an effective servant to the Lord. I appreciate Brother Earl in the song that he had before the lesson. If you go back and look there, obviously he put a little bit of thought into what we were singing, but you go back and look there in number 460. What did we just sing? And hopefully we all sung and we meant what we said. We said, "We're the world's Bible." We just told God, "God, I'm willing to go out and I'm willing to be an example of your word to the world." Did you know that's what you were singing? And we sang the warning to one another, we need to be careful in how we're presenting our lives, because what good are we as the Lord's Bible going out if the print is blurred and the type is crooked? Folks, that's what we sang. And we need to be We need to be honest in the things that we sing, and we need to let the Lord know, yes, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go out and we're going to be an example. We're going to go out and we're going to be evangelists. We're going to go out and we're going to teach the gospel to those who are lost. We're going to help those that need to find their way. We noted this morning in our lesson that we see certain challenges as a result of seeing the diversity of function of the members of the body, that we need to be aware of the different ways that members can serve the body, and we need to be about encouraging the members to develop those functions that best suit their abilities. Let's not try and put someone in a hole that they don't fit. If they're a square peg, don't put them in a round hole. Find that square peg. It's like Austin when he was a little bit younger, and you got the little wheel thing and you got the blocks that go in. He'd take that triangle and he'd just try to pound it in to the oval. Son, that won't work. Well, Henderson's have been trying to do that for a long time, and he's just following in the footsteps of his father, his grandfather, and his uncles. But we can't be doing that. We need to be looking at individuals, and we need to be trying to help them become the best that they can be in what they are best suited for, and we need to provide direction. We need to provide opportunity for them to grow and to serve in the various functions. And so, in an effort to meet the first challenge, in this study, we want to summarize the four basic areas of service in the Lord, and we want to provide some examples of some roles. And so as we're going through these things, I'd like for you to look at these things and ask yourself, can I do this? Can I do this? Well, I can do that. And make note of the things that you can take a part in and see if there's not some way that you can increase in your service to the Lord. We want to begin by looking at the area of public worship. In public worship, we understand, as we look at the Scriptures, that the leadership in the public worship falls squarely upon the shoulders of the men. And so a lot of you women are going, well, there's nothing I can do in this. Well, maybe not in some ways. There might be other ways that you can help those who are leading the service. There might be some other things that go on in the background that are needed to be done, and you can help fill these things. If nothing else, you can encourage our young men and our older men to increase in their abilities. Increase in the things that they're doing in the public worship. We find in the Scriptures that we are commanded not to forsake the assemblies. In Hebrews chapter 10, there in verses 24 and 25, the author of Hebrews says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We are commanded to come together. We are commanded not to forsake. And there are certain commands that we are given as a congregation that we can only fulfill in the context of coming together. When we look at certain things in the Scriptures, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we are commanded to observe the Lord's Supper. This is something that we're to do when we come together. We're not going to take the time to read all that. We read it from time to time before the Lord's Supper to set ourselves in mind of how the Lord set these things up. But these are things that we do when we come together. These are not things that we're to be doing solely by ourselves. Not saying that if you're out in the middle of nowhere, you can't. But if you have the opportunity to meet with the brethren, you should be coming together to partake of the Lord's Supper. We also have the command to lay by in store, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're commanded to, when we come together, to lay by in store. And so these things can only be done in the context of coming together. And we have an example of the early Christians that came together on the first day of the week to carry out these commands in Acts chapter 20. There in verse 7, the Apostle Paul, in one of his journeys, he said, it reads there in verse 7, "On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread." They came together for the purpose on the first day of the week to break bread. Well, what bread do you think they're breaking? Big loaf of bread? Breaking open a Subway sandwich? They're coming together to partake of the Lord's Supper. That's the breaking of bread. That they're coming. The sole purpose of them coming together there was to break bread. To remember the sacrifice of the Lord in the supper that He instituted on the night that He was betrayed. They came together for that reason. And we can see various guidelines for our assemblies that have been given. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26, we are to let all things be done for edification. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 40, the Apostle Paul writes, "All things must be done properly and in an orderly manner." So we need to take these things seriously. And so men, listen up and pay attention to the things that we're talking about as we look at various roles in the area of public worship. Roles that we need to be aware of, and we need to be making sure that one person's not having to do them all. That it doesn't fall on the shoulders of one or two individuals. Now, I want to pause for just a moment and say we've got a pretty good group of men that are willing to do what they can and are willing to strive to increase. But that doesn't mean we need to go, okay, well, we're doing fine. Let's not listen. There's always room for improvement. There's always a need to encourage others to increase in their abilities, to increase in what they're doing. And so as we're looking at these things, there's a number of things that take part in the local service, in the regular worship service, that you can be a part of. Things that some of them don't take a whole lot of knowledge to be able to do. It just takes a little bit of practice, a little bit of work. We had this summer a men's training class. I think some had the idea that it was for the new converts, the younger men. Folks, we need to understand it was for all the men. All of us can increase in our abilities in making announcements. All of us can increase in our abilities in leading the singing, leading prayer, reading scriptures, assisting in the Lord's Supper, assisting in the collection, offering short invitations or exhortations in preaching sermons. Well, we've got to locate a preacher. What if something happened to me? Well, we've got Brother Harold. What if something happened to him? We've got Brother Earl. We've got a few. We've got Brother Ed. What if something happened to them? You see, we all need to be preparing ourselves in all of these things as much as our ability. I understand some don't have the ability to preach. But I don't know of very many that don't have the ability to hold a plate and walk around and pass it around in an orderly fashion. And so let's make sure that we're looking and seeing all that we can be doing and taking part in those things. Some other roles that expedite the public worship. We can look at some things that go on in the background, making sure that all the roles are filled. Unfortunately, this is something that has to take place every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. If you'll note in the bulletin, our nice big new bulletin, several of the members were like, well, we can read that a whole lot better. And that was part of the reason. The other reason, I just like it bigger. I've been wanting to do it, and we've got a copy of it. But if you look down here, are those serving this week? Did you look in the bottom left-hand corner there, you men? Did you see what it says? Please inform the one in charge of announcements if you are unable to fulfill your responsibilities. That's your responsibility to call and to let them know, hey, I can't be there. For whatever reason, I can't be there, so they're not in here having to do last-minute quarterbacking. Taking attendance. Why does it always have to fall on the same individual forever? Well, they like doing it. Well, that's fine. But other people need to know how to do it as well. What I want us to understand as we're looking through all of these, and obviously we're not going to make it through all of this tonight, but as we're looking through all of these, just because you have an ability to do something and you've been doing it for 10 years does not mean that you need to continue. You need to be teaching someone else. Because like it or not, if you live long enough, you're going to die. And who's going to step in and do what you've been doing for 10, 15, 20 years? Taking attendance, preparing the communion, taping the service, recording it digitally is how we go about it. And can you press a record button? Well, you can do it. It's not that difficult. Opening the building, assisting in the seating of visitors, if we have visitors come in, we need to be aware of who's in what classes, and we need to talk to those visitors. Well, how old are your children? Well, they'll go in this class, and give them some direction. Folks, these are things that anyone can take part in, that anyone can help in expediting the worship services, making sure that everything's ready, everyone is prepared, so that the services can be carried out in an orderly fashion, in a proper and orderly way. Now, as we look at these things, and I'm sure there are some other roles that we could look at that would fall in the framework of the public worship, but let's go on and look at another area of work for the local church, and that is the area of edification. We, as a group of Christians, have a responsibility to bring up the Christians, to build them up, to equip them. That's what we're talking about. To equip them to every good work. Much of our edification takes place in the public worship services, but there are other avenues as well. Not only in our congregational Bible studies, but we can also have home Bible studies or the weekly bulletin. These are some areas that we can take part, that we can be beneficial and helping in. And we need to look at these things and understand what we can do. You know, I spend various parts of my week just looking through trying to find material to go in the bulletin. You know, I appreciate it when brothers and sisters in Christ go, man, I ran across this article. I think it'd be good to run in the bulletin. Great. That's one less thing I have to worry about this week. I appreciate it when people help me with that. Anna's great about helping me to fold the bulletin and things of that nature. But, you know, gathering material is a great thing to help in aiding these things so that we can have a beneficial weekly bulletin. Having home Bible studies. Why does the same person or the same group of individuals always have to host the Bible studies? Why can't others take some time and open up their homes to have a Bible study for the young adults, for the young married couples, whatever it might be? We need to be doing these things. As we look at these things and some roles that are carried out in that, teaching the adult class, I want to say a quick thank you for allowing me to leave the adult class and someone else to step in. Now it's time to give this fellow over here a break for a little while. Not that he's asking for one, but it's just not good to continue to work the same individuals. How is anyone else going to grow in their ability if they don't teach the auditorium class? I'm going to tell you, if you want to grow in your understanding of the Word of God, teach the auditorium class as a man. It's an opportunity for you to increase exponentially in your understanding of the Word of God because you're going to prepare yourself so well. Carry out these responsibilities. Teaching children's classes. Men, we need to understand that not just the women can teach some of these younger classes. Now they are, I'm going to be honest with you, they are a little bit better suited. But sometimes those women need a break and we men need to be willing to step in. And we might learn to appreciate all the hard work they put into it a little bit more if we'd step in from time to time. But we need to make sure that we as individuals, if we have abilities to teach, that we're doing all that we can in increasing these things. Teaching special classes. When's the last time we've had a ladies' Bible class? We had a men's training class, but we can have another class that's focused more on training them on being husbands and fathers, leaders in the Lord's church. We need to have more time together. We need to have more studies together. There are so many things that we're lacking in. As I said this morning, any congregation that has gone 20 and 30 years without elders, something's wrong in the makeup. Something's wrong in the Bible class program. Something's wrong in the encouragement of the congregation. We should be raising up men that will be elders. We should be teaching them, encouraging them. What part can you take in this? As part of a congregation's follow-up program, host a Bible home Bible study with new converts or new members. You know, there's a number of things that you can do. There's the Jewel Miller film strip series, which I realize they look like the 70s and everything, but the material in it's still good. It's just as good and true today as it was then. There are other things that we as a congregation could invest in. Robert Arkwright has a series of DVDs that do pretty much the same thing. Do you have a DVD player and a television? We'll invite the new converts over and go, here, let's watch these things together. And let's help you to grow and encourage them instead of leaving them off to themselves. Take part in these things. Well, I'm not a teacher and I just really don't feel comfortable having... I just don't think I can answer the questions. You like kids? Maybe you've got some teachers that are willing to teach, but they've got kids. Say, I'll tell you what, if you'll teach the Bible class, I'll watch your kids for you during the Bible class. You see, there's so many more roles than just what we look at. There's so many additional things that we can do. Some are being held back because they don't want to bring their kids in. They don't want to disturb the Bible class. It's hard to teach a class with a 3-year-old. I don't care who he is or she. She's going to disrupt. They're going to cause a problem. Offer to keep their kids. And let's not forget the two most important roles. The two most important roles in the edification of the church, that of the elders and the deacons. I don't want to spend too much time on this. We can look at some series of lessons on the elders at another time, but let's just look real quickly at the work of an elder. and see how beneficial it is to have elders in the local church, in particular in this area of edification. In Acts chapter 20, as the Apostle Paul is on his way back to Jerusalem, he stops off wanting to visit with the brethren in Ephesus, but afraid to go and to actually be there, afraid that it'll slow him down too much. So he stops off in Miletus, and he encourages the Ephesian elders to come and to meet with him. And as he's giving these closing remarks to the Ephesian elders that he had spent 3 years with, he was close to, he had a great love for, he says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he says, "You be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." There's a couple of words there that we need to pay close attention to. When we look at that, we see, first of all, a flock and a shepherd. What's the purpose of a shepherd over the flock? Well, this one over here is not getting enough to eat. Well, let's make sure we get it up there first. And it gets a good meal. These bigger ones are pushing it out. Let's make sure it's getting food to eat. This one over here, there's something wrong with its leg. We need to take it. We need to watch it. We need to care for it. That's the idea of a true shepherd. They're out there constantly watching every part of that flock. They know each individual sheep. They're aware of them. They can look out, and a good shepherd can look out and know, I'm missing some. There's one missing. I need to go find it. You see, that's the importance of having elders in the local church, is you have someone who has devoted their life, if they've taken on the position of an elder, they've devoted their life to watching the local congregation and making sure that, not just that it's staying with money in the bank, and I'm afraid in many congregations the elders are nothing more than business managers, and that is not the idea that the Lord set forth here in the New Testament. They're watching over the flock. They're worried about the flock. They're concerned about the flock. He's made them overseers to shepherd. They're there to make sure that everyone's growing in the way that they should. The Apostle Peter, who was a fellow elder in 1 Peter chapter 5, there in verse 1 said, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but eagerness." There again, shepherd the flock. Watch over them. Make sure they're getting what they need. You young men, start making proper choices in your life. The church needs elders so bad. I've been preaching for 13 years, and in all my years of preaching, it's not that many, but in all my years of preaching, I've worked with one congregation that had elders, and both of them had passed their ability mentally. They were just figureheads. In my 37 years of life, coming up, in all the congregations that my father's ever preached at, there's only been one that had elders. 12, 15 different congregations throughout the United States of America. No elders. They still don't have elders, many of them. And it doesn't take traveling around very much to see that a number of congregations don't have elders. Why? Because the young men didn't say, "I want to be an elder when I grow up. I'm concerned about the local church, and I want to make sure the local church has everything that it needs to have to be scripturally organized. And so I'm going to live my life so that I can be an elder in the Lord's church, so that I can encourage the congregation to grow." Another thing that has held many men from being a good elder has been their wives. Ladies, young ladies. I know it's a difficult thing to think about for some of you. It's so far off into the future. But maybe you need to start thinking, well, I could be a good elder's wife. I can help my husband be an elder. I can help him raise our children so that he will be qualified. I can help him on his journey. I can encourage him, because it's a difficult position. My grandfather was an elder. I've known of other men who have been an elder in local congregations, and it's a very difficult position. They need the encouragement of their wives. So start thinking now, so that perhaps this congregation in the future can have these men that will step in and to take that position. Let's look a little bit further. We're not going to read all of this for the sake of time. But notice in the qualifications of the elder that is given in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Able to teach and to take care of the church of God. That's shepherding of the flock. One of their main positions is there to make sure that the congregation is being edified. We don't want to leave out the deacons. And we're going to close with this thought. As we look at the deacons, as they can be appointed. One of the greatest helps to a good eldership is a good number of deacons. They take a lot of the workload off of the elders. The elders oversee the work of the church, and they put out, and you need to do this, and we need you to take care of this. And they make sure that everything's being taken care of. And those deacons can come in, and they can take care of a lot of the things so that the elders aren't having to worry about that. Under the oversight of the elders, these things they're being instructed in. Where a friend of mine preaches, it's a large congregation. They have, I think, 4 elders and I think like 8 or 9 deacons. And on the back of their bulletin, they have a list of all the deacons and all the work that they do, what they're set up, what the elders have put them in charge of to make sure that it's taken care of. And it just reduces so much work for the elders. Making sure that the church has the right material for the various classes. You see, these things are helpful in making sure that the church is doing its work of edification. In Philippians 1, there in verse 1, we see scriptural authority for elders and deacons as the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, writing specifically to all of the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers, that's the elders, and the deacons. To be fully organized, a congregation should have elders and deacons. To really be fully effective in their work in the Lord, they need to have elders and deacons. What's wrong with the men's Bible, with the men's business meeting? We got so many other things on our plate, don't we? We're worried about our own lives and things of that nature. We've got so many other things going on, and no one is really set in direction on the work of the church. Nobody. Oh, we're all concerned about various things. But there's no one to really set the direction. Unfortunately, it ends up there's 1 or 2 men that, while they're not elders, the others lift them up almost to the position of an elder. That's a dangerous thing. I know of one congregation where the only time a business meeting was called was when the preacher called it. And he hated doing it. People began to look at him as the religious world at large looks at a pastor. It's a dangerous thing. But we need to be worried about these things. We need to be concerned. We need to be doing what we can. Whatever areas you can help in the regular worship service, whatever areas you can take part in these various things that we're looking at, and Lord willing, next Sunday evening, we'll look at some more things in the area of evangelism and the area of benevolence. And once again, I want to take away the mystique of evangelism and the idea that it takes some degree from Florida College or some degree from some Bible college to be able to evangelize the world. It doesn't. Ask me where I have my degree. School of Hard Knocks. Ask me where I have my degree. It didn't come from Florida College. That'll keep you from having some positions as a preacher. They think you have to go. I'm not knocking Florida College, but you know, you got to be someone who gets in that book. Gets in that book, and they stay in that book. But there are so many other ways that we can teach the gospel, whether it be through the DVDs or the tracts that, Lord willing, we'll have back out by Wednesday evening. The various things that we have that are available for you to spread the gospel, whatever it might be, let's be looking as a congregation for ways that we can improve, ways that we can have better organization in carrying out the works that are going on, so that one person's not finding themselves having to do it over and over and over again. Others are stepping in and going, well, I can do that. I can help with that. Teach me what you're doing so that I can relieve some of the load that is upon you. Folks, we need to share the load. We need to share the burden. We need to share the responsibilities. That's the idea there. As I mentioned this morning, with that bundle of sticks, you take one bundle by itself, you can break it. You take one stick by itself, you can break it. 2, you can break. 3, you can probably still break, depending on what size they are. But you bundle any more than that, they're unbreakable. No one is being taxed too much. As a local congregation, no individual should be teaching a Bible class nonstop. You know, the teachers need to be taught. They need Bible classes of their own. They need to be instructed so that they can grow. I've known of congregations where a young lady returned in service. She'd been away for years, and she got stuck in the young kids class teaching. And until she left that congregation, she was still teaching that class. She needed to be taught herself. She needed to be able to grow. No one should be stuck in any class. Folks, there are too many of you that can teach and won't. What is it that Chuck says that at work? Those that can do? Well, I think as a congregation, we need to make sure those that can teach others how to do. So that we're all increasing, all growing. So that we read there in the book of Ephesians, every joint supplies. Everybody raise your hand. That's a member of this local congregation. Everybody raise your hand. Now I want you to stop for just a moment. You're a member of this congregation. By raising your hand, you're saying, Anna, raise your hand. Come on. Okay. You're saying, I'm a joint. I'm someone who supplies in the work of the church here. Okay? Therefore, you have the need to increase in whatever it is you're doing, to grow, to go on in greater service, or the Lord is not pleased. If we want to be a group where the Lord sees fit to open doors for us, we've got to be growing. As a congregation and as individuals, we've got to be increasing. Never be satisfied with where we are. Making sure that we're a group of individuals that when that lost soul comes in there and is looking for those that will encourage them, those that will welcome them, we're them. We're that congregation. And until we fit that mold, I don't believe the Lord will open doors for us. And we can sit here and we can pray that the Lord will open doors, but if we're not doing anything on our part to become the work that He needs us to be, the doors will remain closed. So if there are any here who have been a member of the body of Christ and have not increased in their abilities, that saw only their responsibility to come and to fill a pew, your soul is in danger. Your responsibility is more than to just show up on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There are so many more things. We're going to look at some things that we can do in the area of benevolence and the area of evangelism. Things that anybody can take part in. And unfortunately, in many congregations, only a few take part in. But just imagine if everybody was sending cards and doing things of that nature, calling and encouraging. We need to grow. Perhaps you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we mentioned in our lesson this morning, we see in the Scriptures the need to believe in Christ as the Son of God, to repent of our sins, to confess our belief, be buried in baptism, like Saul, arise and be baptized, washing away our sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. If you've not obeyed the gospel, tonight is that night to surrender yourself in humble obedience to the Lord. We encourage you to make whatever is wrong in your life right, so that you can be ready to meet your Lord today. As we stand and as we sing.